And away we go. So I'm going to share my screen. Joshua chapter 7. I think that's big enough for everybody to see. Let me know if not. So let's do a quick review. So the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. We talked about that last week in identifying what that accursed thing is. And some of the and God got mad at them because of that. So I'm not going to go through all of that again. I want to work ourselves down a little bit more. I am hearing a little bit of an echo now. And they went up to Ai to attack the city of Ai. And they only took a few thousand men with them, 3,000, because the spies said, hey, look, this is a small problem. It ain't going to take that much. And so they came back and got the butts beat. And Joshua runs back and says, hey, what the heck happened? Fell on his face and just cried out to the Lord. What happened? It would have been better. Are we ever going to get to your best? It's always good to cry out to the Lord. He's humble. He starts to pray. All right. And the Lord says to Joshua in verse 10, get thee up. Why are you lying on your face? And God answers his prayer and tells him, this is the reason why you lost. You lost because you did not keep my covenant, which I commanded, because somebody took of the accursed thing, all right? And you've also stolen, and you disassembled it so you could hide it, and you even brought it among your own stuff, all right? And there's an application point that we talked about last time. Let's be careful not to steal from God. How do we steal from God? I don't want to go back through it because I kept talking about how I used to try to steal glory from God, and y'all beat me up about that, so I'm not going to go back down that path of how y'all, you know, looked at me all funny because I told you that I used to get prideful after a victory. All right, so we're just going to move on. All right, but after you have a victory and a breakthrough, you need to be careful because that pride slips in, and then the next time you go out there, you might get your butt beat. All right, here we go. All right, verse 12. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. We talked about this last week. Because of the actions of a few or the one, the curse or the virus or whatever you want to call it spread throughout the entire camp. So everybody was infected as far as God was concerned. And he says, I'm not going to be with you except you destroy the curse from among you. So I got a couple of highlights. The accursed things caused God to no longer be with them. Here's the danger. They didn't know. Application. Are they God's people? Yes. Is this a message for unbelievers or for believers? This is a believer's message. All right? This is for us Christians who are trying to get to the promised land. I'm not just talking about heaven. This is for Christians trying to get God's best in this life. Because he came that we might have life and it more abundantly. Not just in the afterlife, but in the right now. Come on now. The psalmist said, I'm waiting to see the glory of God or the goodness of God in the land of the living. So does God want to bless us right now in our living? Yes. Does he get glory behind that? Yes. Does he get credit for that? Yes. That means God must bless us on purpose. He wants to bless us on purpose because it'll be a testimony to somebody else and it'll lead them to his saving knowledge and then the kingdom gets increased. Amen. So he wants to bless. He's a good father. He's a good, good father. And he wants, as any other good father, he wants to bless his children. But just like, I know we got some parents in here. Are you going to bless your kids on purpose when they're disobedient? I'm not. I've seen some parents do that. I think that's crazy. But I'm not. If you don't line up with me, you'll get lined up with me. All right? But you don't bless them because that's out of order. It's outside of the steps. It's not how God does things or whatever. But he's telling them this because he said, I want to bless you. I want to bless you on purpose. But I can't bless you like that because if I do, I won't get the glory. All right. Anybody just stop me if you got something that you want to say. All right. the actions of one impact the entire community of believers. Okay, I think we got a little bit further than this. He says, up, sanctify the people. So now God is going to give them what they need to do to take care of this. Let me get Sandra in here. He says, up, sanctify the people. Now, sanctify means to separate or to set apart for the kingdom. It's not like when I was growing up, and when I was growing up, because I grew up Baptist or whatever, and you know, I asked my mom about certain churches or whatever, and they said, oh, those are sanctified folk. You know, they hang from the ceiling, they run up and down the aisles and stuff like that. All right. Don't get it mixed up. Sanctified in the Bible ain't talking about sanctified church folk or whatever. They want to praise God, you know, outwardly or whatever, which I ain't got a problem with. But I ain't got my running shoes on, so I ain't going to run up and down the aisle right now. All right. This is about setting yourself and dedicating yourself to God. So he says, sanctify the people or set themselves apart against tomorrow or in the morning. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Application for today. Same thing works. If we cannot stand before the enemy, we can't stand before the world. If we've got this, if there's something that's accursed or separates us from God, the question for us today is to figure out what is the accursed thing? Because God forbid, I need my victory. I need my breakthrough. I don't need to be going out thinking that God is with me, and then he ain't with me because I got something going on inside of me that's contrary to his will, and he can't bless me until I deal with that thing. So I kind of need to figure out, we need to figure out what this accursed thing is. And usually when you look at the commentaries, it's got something to do with idolatry. What's idolatry? Anything that is in front of or higher or greater priority than God. Something that takes your affections primarily from God onto something else. All right? I can't allow my, I've told you this, I can't allow my political party to be greater than God. I can't allow my race or my culture or my background or where I live to be higher than God. Are those things important to me? You're darn tootin' they're important to me. But they're not greater than God. I'm Christian first. I'm everything else after that, but I'm Christian first because I don't want anything. Video games, TV. I'm not saying any of that stuff is wrong, but it can't be a higher priority than God. All right.
Amen. Amen.
Which is one of the reasons why I don't play fantasy sports right now, because I got too addicted to it. And the first thing up in the morning was to get my computer and try to set my lineup so I can beat somebody else online. Make believe. It's called fantasy. Which means it ain't real. And I had more priority on the fantasy stuff than I did on the real stuff. How crazy is that? Idol. A curse thing. I'm wondering why I can't get some breakthrough or whatever. Well, so we got to be careful of those things. All right. Now, this is important. I think this is new material. I don't think Al is there to keep me straight or whatever, but.
Here.
Al is here?
I'm sitting in the background.
All right, sit in the background. That's where you need to be. All right, I got some scriptures for you, so you just be ready. All right, so I think we left off at 14. So verse 14, Kingdom City. Y'all got to meet Al one day. I'm going to bring Al down. You got to meet Al. All right. Anyway, I want you to take particular notice to these verses now. In the morning, verse 14, therefore shall ye be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, and he and all he that he hath, because he hath, transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he have wrought folly in Israel. Now, I know that sounds like Shakespeare, so let's kind of break this down so we can understand just a little bit better what he's talking about here, because they're probably taking a lot, taking it by lots or whatever, and God's going to do something. But I want to show you some things, because as I looked at this again on yesterday, some questions popped up that might clarify this. And I think I did this last week and told you that they violated the contractual agreement with God. And I read through Deuteronomy 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 28. And I love that part because Fred Hammond had a song. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed in the cities. We're blessed where we come and where we go. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. And so, you know, amen. And so we sing that song because we're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We're not going out, not coming in. We're blessed. And Christians sing that part. And they love that part. And we recite that part. But there's a part that comes after that. And if you disobey the covenant of God, you'll be cursed in the city. And you'll be cursed in the field. And you'll be cursed when you come and when you go. So you can't just take the good stuff and forget about the other stuff. God wants to bless us with his best. He has his best in front of us. The promised land is in front of us. Abundant life is in front of us. And if we obey God and keep the accursed thing out of the way, then we will receive all of those things. How do you know that? Because that's his plan. And that's his promise. All right? That's his plan. And that's his promise. Problem is, if we don't obey, there's some curses, there's some consequences to come behind that. So we got to take the whole word. All right. Now, I got a brand new observation here that I got yesterday. And I'm going to highlight that. Look at how Joshua is supposed to discover the accursed thing. How is he supposed to find the thing that's keeping them from victory? Notice what he does. One, the Lord is going to identify the problem for him. God's going to search out the issue and identify the problem for him. The application for today. If God is going to identify the problem for Joshua, how will he identify the problem for us, in our churches, in our society, in our country? How will he identify the problem in our lives as we are in pursuit of his plan? So, if you look at Psalm 139, Al or somebody, or maybe somebody in Kingston could do this, I don't know. Somebody look at Psalm 119, 105. I don't know if by just one person look at Psalm 119, 105. But I know Psalm 139. And it says this, because it used to be a song. I want you to search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and see if there, try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. So David the psalmist in 139 says, Lord, you search me. And let me know if there's something inside of me or something pertaining to me that needs to be dealt with. Now, I can't remember what Psalm 119, 105 is, but and I don't have my Bible with me right now. If somebody can just read that and let me know what that says. All right, so Al says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay. Using those scriptures, question for us today. How can we identify what the accursed thing is in our life if it does indeed exist? So I didn't hear that real well, but I think I heard somebody say God's word. So, it's through God's Word, through God's Holy Spirit, it's through Bible study lessons like this or whatever. We need to be asking God to search us, and we need to be looking at the Word to see, is there something in us that we need to deal with that's keeping us from our victory and our breakthrough? Because again, God explains, and you'll see it in my notes, They can't stand, they can't win, they can't have breakthrough, they can't enjoy God's best, you're not going to have any victory until that thing is identified and removed. Alright? So again, in my notes I kind of bring out, if we're not experiencing victory, it may not be that the problem is too big for God. It may be us. We might be the reason why God's not giving us the breakthrough, and we need to examine and see, what is it that we might be doing? I mean, we might be enjoying some blessings. Were they still enjoying some blessings? Yeah, but they were not enjoying God's best. Had God brought them so far along the way? Yes, he had. But they weren't going any farther. I don't know. There might be some Christians out there who, I'm not going any farther like this. And I'm scratching my head wondering why. Would have thought the walls would have come down by now. Would have thought that God would be blessing by now. Would have thought that the storm would have been over by now. Either he's still working something out through me, or there might be something in me that I need to examine to see, God, what's holding this thing up? But it certainly can't be because the problem is too big, because he's God. So it must be something with me. And until we deal with it, we'll be missing the power and the presence of God, because God said, I'm not even going out with you. I'm not even going to be with you until you deal with this. All right? And I say it, maybe that's why it's called the accursed thing, because until we get dealt with it, until we deal with it, we're cursed until we deal with it. Curse got to be removed. All right. So Joshua, verse 16, rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah. And he took the family of the Zarahites. And he brought the family of the Zarahites, man by man. And Zabdi was taken. Verse 18, and he brought his household man by man. And then Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. Can you imagine how this was going down? And Achan's the one that's got the accursed thing, if you read a little bit further. Can you imagine? Achan must have been shaking in his shoes. Because this process is going, something's going on. They're looking for where the stuff is. I know where the stuff is. And they're looking. But you know what? They're going to have to find it. And they just get closer and closer and closer to his neighborhood. And then all of a sudden, here it is. That must have been a scary thought. I'm not even going to ask if anybody's ever been in that situation where you get so stuck, you just see it's getting closer and closer, and all of a sudden you just kind of know, man, I'm busting. I'm just busting. I'm still thinking about some instances right now. I'm like, yeah, I saw it coming. I'm busting. All right. So I say again, according to commentary, there must have been taken. But I, as I was looking at this yesterday in preparation for today, a brand new question. I love when God does this. It messes up my notes, but I love when he does this. A question. I wonder why God didn't just tell Joshua up front who it was. Think about it. Why go through all of this? God already knew it was Achan. He could just skip to the point and said, Joshua, it's Achan. Go get him. String him up or whatever. You know, take care of him. He's the one. He could have went right quick, fast, in a hurry and said, you know, Joshua, it's Achan. I wonder why God has him go through this process, this time-consuming process, and involve all these folks and take all this time to find out what the root cause was.
It's like the walls of Jericho.
Kind of like the walls of Jericho. Oh, Al. You might have to move to the front of the class, brother. It's like Al said, it's like the walls of Jericho. We asked the same question there. Why 7 days? Why seven times on the seventh day? What is achieved by all of this? And I think, Al, correct me if I'm wrong, we said, well, in Jericho, it allowed the people to practice faithfulness, so that God gets the glory. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And my elder here at Canyon Secret said, also, it took the glory out of their hands and put it on God's hands. So now they got nothing to do with this. This is about God getting the credit, because he's the one that gave the victory in the first place. Amen.
Also, it's witnessing.
Yeah. Amen. All right, somebody says also it's about witnessing. What do you mean by witnessing? It's a witness.
Well, it took 7 days, so people must have been asking, what are they doing?
What's exactly. So when you look at the walls of Jericho, again, it's a witness of, you know. Oh, and then we also see from the other side, the people inside of Jericho, thank you, Al, for bringing this up. Because we're wondering, what about the people inside the walls? What were they thinking? Well, Rahab is thinking, my breakthrough is on the way. It's just going to take a little longer. My breakthrough is on the way. Because I know, you know, my breakthrough is on the way. I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. But she was the only one in her household that's believing, so everybody else is thinking, they probably ain't going to do nothing. They ain't done nothing. They ain't done nothing in 6 days. We probably good for day number 7 or whatever. And so, you know, wait a minute. I was at the prison. I asked the same question. Sometimes we don't obey God because we're just waiting things out, hoping that things will get better. Hold on. I got a statement. Think about great intimidation. Or walking around is intimidating. Right. Yeah. What could I do in that situation if I'm intimidated? Yeah. Yeah. All they were doing was, marching. They weren't attacking. But it was a threat. And so there's fear, because the city was shut up because of fear. All right? They're fearing the people of God. God's wrath. I know what I did in that situation when I was in the world. I relied on my own strength. I said, I'm going to have to battle this out. I'm going to have to, you don't know. But now, I can't use my logic and common sense anymore. Because when I get to the point where I go, in a spiritual perspective, this don't look good, I give up and I surrender. So what they should have done is they should have raised their hands and said, I surrender. They should have done what Rahab is. We surrender. Your God is God. Which is the same way that we get saved today. God is God. That's how we get saved. So Al brought up Jericho as an example. Let's go back to that and say, why is he going through this process? Well, it's a witness to somebody. Yeah. This process is a witness to somebody. So here's what I wrote down. And it could be other things. This is just my perspective. It teaches us how to examine ourselves and where and when to start looking. When did God tell them to start calling these families out looking for it? What time of day? In the morning. So every day when I get up in the morning, guess what I'm doing? Praying. Humbly. Guess what I'm asking God to do? Take away the accursed thing, whatever it is. Because I need my breakthrough today. I need victory on my job today. I need victory in my relationships today. I need victory with my health. I got to go to the doctor sometime this week. Y'all pray for me. I'm hoping that all my levels are looking like they're supposed to be level. I'm making sure that I'm praying, get myself lined up, because I don't want the accursed thing to keep me from what God has for me for that day. Every day His mercies are brand new. I need my brand new mercy. All right. Second point I made is, it gets others involved in the process and lets them know that God is serious about this thing. This ain't no joke. All right. It also puts God in the examination process where He is the focus and not us judging the people. When they start calling these people out, who's the one that's doing the searching? Look at the scripture again. Let me go back to the scripture. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by household. The Lord shall take come man by man. So who's the one that's selecting and choosing and judging where the problem is? It's God. It's God.
The only judge.
And let me tell you why that's important. I've got a friend, dear friend, loves the Lord. All right. So that's the other reason why I think God goes through this process. He gives him, just like the people during the walls of Jericho, they're inside Jericho, 7 days to repent. 7 days to repent. 7 days to repent. here, you got all this time. You know what? If I, knowing what I know now, if I was aching, first off, I wouldn't have took it in the first place. Second, if I did take it, I would have been coming clean a lot. As soon as they figure out God's looking for somebody, uh-oh. All right, verse 19. The gig is up. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Let me stop right there and make confession unto him. Joshua says, you still have an opportunity to bring God glory. Wow. How do you do that? By making confession. What steps are required here? One, before you can give God glory, you got to be humble. And Achan is not humble yet until he does what? Confess that he's wrong. As soon as they, I'm just talking about me. As soon as they call out my family, my tribe, you know, my race or whatever, I'm like, God, I need you. Step one. Two, I confess I messed up. That gives God glory because that places him in right relationship, or is the beginning of getting him back in relationship with a holy God. All right? Application for today. When you know you've done wrong and you know you screwed up and somebody has revealed that to you, when you know your thinking is off and you know you've messed up, you know you've missed the mark, don't try to hide it. That's pride. Don't be fearful. That ain't of the Lord. Because God did not give us a spirit of fear. But what we need to do is what? Confess. I need God. Confess that thing. Humble yourself and confess it. All right? Now, make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Verse 20. Achan starts to follow the steps to get back in right standing with God and give God glory. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. All right. Now, watch this. When I saw... Well, I like that. When I saw among the spoils. Now, this is after the victory. It's after the breakthrough. After God moves. When I saw the spoils of a goodly Babylonian-ish garment. So he saw some threads that looked really nice. He said, man, this is a nice jacket. Nice little silk smoking jacket or whatever. Yeah, hey, I like this. I look good in this. And 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight that I coveted them. He desired them in his mind and he took them in his actions. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the middle of my tent and the silver under it. So there's a couple things that he did wrong here. One, he saw something. He lusted after that thing. All right. And then he stole from God. Because if you go back to the previous chapter and the instructions that they were supposed to have, God said, or Joshua told them, the silver and the gold belongs to God. So what did he do? Silver and the gold belongs to God. He just stole from God. How do we steal from God? We can steal his glory. We can steal his credit. We can steal his tithes and offering. I hate to go there, but every now and then I got to go there. All right? Now, you got to set yourself up sometimes before you can get yourself up for tithing and things like that. But this is important that we understand what's going on here in this particular side of the story. All right? That's why I went ahead and what little money I got, I just went ahead and divvied it out. Here's a little money for Kingdom Seeker. Here's a little money for this church that I go to. Here's a little money for this ministry. I pay my, it's how I get blessed. Because I don't want my finances cursed. Because I need my money. All right. So I got some notes here. Even after the mistake and sin, you can still bring glory to God by just humbly admitting to him. All right. Just admit. Just humbly admit to God. Come clean. That's it. Now, I want you to notice the process of the fall. And I make a reference because I love this scripture, 1 John 2:15 through 17, because this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The process of the fall. There's a process involved in Achan's fall. And we need to understand what that process is so that we don't follow the same mistake. Because I don't know about you, but I need my breakthrough. I need my victory. I need God's plan being fulfilled in my life. So, first thing we saw is Achan saw something that he liked. It could be clothes. It could be something else. It could be a girl or a guy. But if I see something, all right, and I focus on that thing too much, that might be a problem for me. He coveted these things. And here's what my notes say. This means he didn't sin when he first saw them. Got it? Just because you see it, that wasn't when he sinned. When he saw it and he kept focusing on that, that's when the problem, because now you're coveting that thing, or you're desiring that thing, or you're lusting after that thing. All right? My grandkids are in the house, and I saw $3, I think $3 or $4 sitting on the table. I saw it. I saw the dollar bills there. I know it wasn't my wife's because she don't leave money around like that. I know it wasn't mine because I know where I keep my money. It's in my pocket. So the grandkids left some dollars there. I saw it. Immediately in my mind, I thought, they shouldn't have this money out like this. I'm going to tell you. $3 here. It's in my house. They're living for free up in here anyway. This is down payment on rent. But then I quickly took my eyes off it and went about my business. And the $3 ain't there no more, so I guess they must have picked up on it or whatever. But I didn't take it. The reason I didn't take it was because I did not focus on the $3 and I did not covet it because I took my eyes off it. It is not a sin necessarily for you to see something that just happens to come by. It's when you start focusing and coveting on that thing that the problem occurs. Could be anything. All right? So, the battle is in your mind. The battle takes place in your head. The Bible says your heart, but it ain't your little, it's in your head. Alright? Alright. So the first step is, and when you look at 1 John 2:15 and 17, it says that all these things are the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And those things are taking place, at least two of those three things are taking place in this process of Achan. If it's in the Bible, is there a possibility that these things might also be things that we need to be aware of? Yes. Be careful what you look at and focus on, because it can lead your affections away from God. All right? So the sin... Yes, sir.
It's just like a pretty woman passed by.
Well, why are you going with the pretty woman thing?
You don't look at her.
You do look at... I don't know. I'm all man.
Well, if you're focusing on her, then you have seen her.
With all the terrorism in the world today, I must observe everybody to make sure they ain't carrying no bombs.
Yeah, guns.
But I... Y'all can laugh if you want to, but I might have to identify later. But I don't want to be looking at that in such a way that it gets into my mind and I'm coveting it. So yeah, Mac, I hear you. Man, ladies run by all the time. I'm on the base, they run by all the time with their little sports bras and stuff like that or whatever. And I walk by, I go, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And I just keep on going. If you ever see me put two fingers to my forehead and another finger in the air, that is, you better keep your mind on Jesus. And I keep on rolling. When I worked at Grambling as a professor, and all the little college girls, I worked at ASU too, and all the little college girls would walk by, and I'm looking at all these Christian brothers that were in my department. I'm like, how y'all stand out here during school? How y'all able to hang out here and just watch all this stuff just walking by? And we used the 3-second rule. I said, the 3-second rule? They said, yeah, 1 Mississippi. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Mississippi. He did a good job. Amen. 3 Mississippi. Now break that. Let's go. Praise the Lord. He's a good God. Whatever. You know. Now, I don't know if you need a 3-second rule, whether you need a scripture or whatever it is, but you don't want that kind of battle going on in your mind. Because you're going to see something.
Amen.
I heard a joke, and it ain't scripture, but it's a joke. You know, old guys that are saved or whatever, like old dogs on the porch. You know, cars drive by, they bark, but they ain't chasing after nothing. You know, that ain't scripture. So don't even bark. Amen. Jesus said, don't even bark. All right, so let's keep going.
Amen.
And it's not just about women, men, things like that. It's anything that gets in your dome, in your mind, that's going to take your affection off of obeying God.
Amen.
Money, stocks, politics, government, amen. Fear, whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm saying we really have to guard our minds and win the battle, you know, in the mind. Okay. Now, I got some observations, then I think we're going to run out of time because for Von Forrest, I'll hang out with you a little longer or whatever, but I'm going to wrap this up for King's. But I got some observations and questions here. Why did it take Achan so long to confess? He knew what was going down. Think about it. Why did it take him so long to confess?
Well, he had it hid in his tent.
So he thought he'd get away with it.
Get away with it.
Aha. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm just saying, yeah. He probably thought he was going to get away with it. Maybe he thought that God wasn't going to forgive him. I don't know. But we got to be careful. Confession is the thing that we want to do. All right? I got some notes there. Make sure that you don't value something ahead of your relationship with God because it becomes an accursed thing. Okay. I'm going to stop at 22, but I'm going to read it because Davey's on the line just to give him hope that we are going to finish because we are going to finish. But this is good. And we'll finish. This will be part of our review for next week.
Thank you, Chuck.
Yes, sir. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent in the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zariah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and for Al, and his donkeys, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. I translated what the valley of Achor means. It is the valley of trouble. We'll talk about that next week. Everything he had, they put in the valley of trouble. All right. Now, I got some brand new observations that I want to leave with you before I go. Why did they have to go to Achan's tent to get the stuff? Because he didn't bring it out. So think about that spiritually, what that says about Achan. Where do you think he was on that 7-step feast maturity model? He confessed. He said, my bad, I sinned against the Lord. He humbled himself that way. I mean, I know somebody. Man, I watch court cam on TV. These people lie all the way to the judge.
He didn't repent.
Boom. He didn't repent. How do we know he didn't repent? Because repentance would have said, I changed my mind about holding on to this stuff. I'm sorry I got caught, but can I still hold on to a little piece of this? A lot of people say, I'm sorry. Judas said, I'm sorry. But I'm sorry is the first step. I'm humble and I admit I got caught is the first step. But a lot of people will say, I got caught, but I ain't about to change. Achan did not hit step two. Davy, I love you. He not hit step two because they had to go and get the stuff. If he had hit step two, he would have brought the stuff out freely and would have repented, and he would have changed his mind about holding on to this stuff. All right, I'm out of time here. Any last takes on it? Did this bless anybody?
Yes.
I mean, I need to be praying Psalm 139. I need God to keep searching and seeking some things out. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, that's what. And there's nothing new under the sun. The same thing that happened to Achan can happen to us. Has happened to me. All right.
Amen.
And, all right. Amen. And I ain't got to be the only one to go raise my hand. So we want to make sure that we don't mess up God's plan for our life, because we want victory, we want breakthrough, but God says, for His glory, I can't let you have it like this, because you'll steal some glory and some credit for me, and I need to train other folk. You need to rely just on God. And when we get into the next chapter, you're really going to see something sad. As a matter of fact, I like you, so I'll tell you right now. Everything that Achan was trying to hold on to and steal from God in this battle, they get in the next chapter. All he had to do was just wait on God, wait till the next chapter, he would have got it. Wow. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. I thank you, Lord God, for this lesson. I thank you for your great mercy, Lord God. But Father God, I thank you for these steps, and may we practice and follow them every day. Search us, Lord God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in us. And lead us in the way everlasting for your glory. We thank you, Lord God, that through your word and through your Holy Spirit, you can help us identify what we need to address and what we change. Pray, Father God, that this nation we be humbled, and that what needs to be taken out and the accursed things, Lord God, will be identified, that you will bless this nation, that you will bless our household, that you will bless our churches. And Father God, most of all, since we are the church, that you would bless us, Lord God, that we may be able to stand in front of our enemies, in front of our problems, and that you will get glory out of that. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, God bless you guys. I am signing off.
No.
Love you, brother.
Love you, too. Matt, man, you are looking so good, man.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, Susan, let me see what Al looks like in there. I can't see Al.
He's coming up. There's son. Hi, son.
Yeah.
Oh, where is he?
I'm looking at, there you go. And it, you know what? There's nothing like seeing the Lord and seeing Mr. Frosty.
Hey, Al, I love you, brother.
We love you, brother. All right, signing off.
Touch his hair is a sign of glory.
It is. Great. I don't have as much glory. I'm trying to get some more, brother.
Just live a little longer. You get
it. Today is Carolyn. Carolyn Dassinger, Devin Earl, Roger, Norm, and Clara, Jimmy, and